when it comes to...
No, I'm not fixed. Like, I'm into, like, you know what? Let's catch this one at the restaurant real quick in the bathroom. Or, you know what? You know, we're about to, you know, see... We're at our, you know, mother's house or your mother, you know. Let's go upstairs real quick to her bedroom, close the door. You know what I mean? Like, I'm okay with that stuff.
Don't wanna G-S. Be a player. I don't wanna be playing no part.
I'm not a player, I just fuck a lot.
Hello and welcome back to the show. Today's episode is relationships, both good and bad. And one of the things that I've learned about relationships is not necessarily about the other person, but it's really changed my view on personal responsibility and accountability. And through my, what it seems like, decades or centuries or years of self-assessing and, you know, this journey, being secure and confident in myself to admit my faults and things I did wrong has been huge. And here's why. Because when you're able to figure out things that you did wrong, whether it's how you reacted to something or a decision you made, you're able to seek out ways to improve and get better. This will allow you to grow into a better version of, well, of you, of who you are. And the moment you blame others and don't take responsibility for your actions, you lose control. Lose control of the ability to get better, lose control of the things you can control, essentially. Lose control of practicing humility and gratitude, and ultimately, lose control of yourself. But you know what? At the end of the day, we're all control freaks in some way, and we're all just freaks. And speaking of freaks, today is a very special episode. I call it the lounge. You know, we just kind of kick it, and we'll see where it goes. And I couldn't think of two better people to do it with than Remy and David, who are sweet, intelligent, kind, and super funny. And you're going to find out really soon. So without further ado, the Vandaltron Curious World podcast presents The Lounge with Aremni and David. It starts right now.
You want a podcast? Great. So you have some audio on your website that nobody goes to.
You're listening to Vandaltron's Curious World podcast. Check it out, baby.
Topic that everybody's really curious about is toxic relationships. Let's just get right into it.
Ooh, jeez.
Have you had any?
Yeah, I think currently I'm involved in a toxic relationship. I don't think it was toxic on purpose. I think it just developed into something really toxic.
Well, toxic relationships don't start off toxic. They develop into toxic relationships. If it was toxic in the beginning, you wouldn't continue talking to that person. But once they have a hold of you, you know.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I think that, you know, in the beginning, you know, there are really no signs. Like, how could you even tell? You know, after you get to know the person and you start seeing habits and stuff, I think, you know, toxicity kind of grows like fungus.
But there must be a part of you that likes it.
I don't think I like it. I just think that I'm sucked into it and I'm manipulated.
It sounds like the worst magic trick I've ever heard of.
Yeah, you know, Houdini tried a lot.
You know how he died, right?
How did he die?
So he has this trick where he's underwater and he escapes, like he unties himself. But these kids went backstage to meet him and they punched him in the stomach.
Whoa.
So maybe that's foreshadowing with your current
toxic relationship.
Oh God. Someone's going to punch me in the stomach and I'm going to die?
Underwater.
That's terrible.
Well, I'm trying to help you.
Yeah, I know.
So I think we've all had relationships that have been unhealthy to some degree.
Yeah.
Right? My first serious relationship, I think, you know, I projected so much onto this person of what I thought I wanted a relationship to be, and pleasing this person and making them feel better was getting those accolades was a substitute for working on myself. And that's a lesson, and I'm glad I learned it. So it helped me be better in other relationships after that.
How, what areas did it cause you to work on?
Myself.
Like, in what areas, like, what does that mean, like?
The lesson that I learned was I'm not responsible for anybody, because I had this insecurity that, oh my God, I have to do this or I have to do that because I want this person. It's not like I want this person to love me. Not that overt. I just wanted the approval.
See, but you know, in my case, I don't really need approval from people. I mean, I'm confident in just being who I am. I think the relationship that I'm dealing with that is so toxic is someone that I grew up with. You know what I mean? It's someone that, you know, I know all of their family. I know their uncles. You know,
are they crazy too?
The family is very dysfunctional, you know, and then oddly enough, their family knows my family. So, you know, it's almost like a childhood friend or, you know, a childhood brother that I'm kind of going through this with. And, you know, it's just very tough because it's like, you know, where do you draw the line in the sand now? If it's somebody that I had met and developed a relationship with and, you know. But this is somebody I grew up with. You know, it's like a brother, you know?
You currently describe this person that way?
We all have, you know, some of us might have siblings that are manipulative, controlling, and toxic.
What's the benefit that you get?
You know, you don't really get a benefit. You just feel suckered, you know?
Then why not just cut it, make a clean break?
I've tried to make a clean break so many times, man. You know, I've tried to draw that line in the sand and say, okay, no, enough is enough. And then it's always like a sob story, or it's always like calling my employment 50 million times, riling up all my coworkers saying, David, you better do something. We're going to kill you if you don't do something.
Okay, so in that situation,
yeah,
how are you going to handle that?
I don't know, because, you know, I think if it was something that if I was just dealing with, you know, I would just ignore it. But now there's people around me. Now I have no choice but to do something.
Have you ever tried not just ignoring it, but addressing it with that person? Like, what happens when you tell them about themselves? Tell them what they're doing to you, how they're making you feel. What happens then?
They tend to be very, very understanding, very, like, self-aware, very apologetic, very kind,
now
very
you,
sweet.
But, so part of toxic relationship, that second word, this is a form of relationship, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's got to be a benefit on your end, right?
What benefit is there? I'm getting no benefit out of this. I mean,
then why are you in it?
We're not fucking when doors are like closed.
Are you fucking when doors are open?
I mean, fucking in general is great whether the doors are open or closed. But, you know, that's just my take on fucking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But what were you saying again?
Have you ever, what is the ratio of you cheating on somebody versus you being cheated on?
I think I'm the type of guy that will always get cheated on.
Oh.
I don't think, I don't, you know, once I'm in a relationship and I feel very, very committed and I determine that I love you, I'm very all about you and nothing else.
Well, maybe that's why you can't get out of this toxic relationship.
Yeah, but I'm not dating.
Well, it's not dating, but it's still a relationship. Either way, you're very close to this person. You say you're, once that happens, you're very committed and, you know, you do everything you can.
Do you realize how this sounds to an outsider?
No, how does it
sound? You sound like you're captive.
Really?
Like a prisoner.
I sound like a prisoner.
You sound like you have no free will.
This I do have free just, will.
Then why don't you remove yourself of this situation?
I do remove myself, but this person always has a way of coming back.
But you're letting that happen.
How? I don't call them. Excuse me, I don't call them. Mm-hmm. I don't text them. I don't, like, nothing. They find me.
So you're excusing this behavior?
I'm just saying, if a person finds you, and then we have a lot of mutual people that we know, it's kind of hard. You ever dated someone and you all of you have had the same amount of friends? Like, you all know each other?
My remedy to this would be completely different.
What is your remedy to this?
So when I break up with somebody, it's over. Like, I never want, that's it. If we have mutual friends, you keep them all. And that's it. We're not talking anymore.
What if they're very close friends?
It's a compromise I'm willing to take. What's the point? Mm-hmm. Because let's say I'm dating you and David is your brother. Mm-hmm. Similar situation to my real life. And David and I are friends. It's always going to be lingering to me of like your relationship. So I'm just like, forget it. I don't want that burden, not only on me, but on him. So I'm just like, forget it.
Well, if it's their brother, that's different. I don't think I could do that either. But if it's a close friend, that's just, you're kind of, so I see that you're trying to disassociate yourself from that person, but it doesn't mean that you have to completely break off relationships with other people that you care about. Unless you don't really care about them, like it's not a big deal to you, then that's fine. But if it was someone like you really care about, then why do you have to break that relationship off? If you're both mature enough to keep it going.
You say why, I say why not. Because why could you be constantly dancing around this issue of like, we have a mutual person. I'm going to be thinking, what is up with this person? I'm going to be thinking that you might be thinking that.
Well, if you're thinking that, that's a whole other issue.
I just don't want to invite. Why would I invite that? And why would I put him in that situation?
Okay.
So what is your pet peeve in a relationship then?
Inability to listen.
That's a good one.
When somebody's not listening.
We can never be. I'm never listening. I'm always talking and never listening. Wow. That has been a real strain in past relationships, the not listening.
No. I've had some good relationships that have ended pretty horribly, but I've learned from all of them, so I don't really have any regrets from them.
Hmm.
I've made a fool out of myself plenty of times in different stages of relationships and courtships, but I'm fine with that too.
Wow.
So growth. That's growth.
So you just accepted where, you know, you just accepted who you are as a person.
I will say that I'm pretty constant when it's over. I'm pretty intense with it being over.
I don't know, but, you know, I just feel like you love a person. You spend so much time with them. You hang out with them. You go places with them. You do all these things with them. And then for you just to say, you know what, it's over. Go screw yourself. I have a hard time with that. You know, you don't think it takes a while to kind of get over a person after spending so much time with them?
Okay, well, those are two different things. Getting over somebody is and actually doing something to help remedy the situation or self-preservation, those are two different things. Yeah, it may take time. It's all different. But you can do things for self-care just to make sure that you're not in that situation. To me, when you said if you love somebody, why not let it why would you stomp it out or whatever it is that you said? I wasn't listening either.
Pet peeve.
I would flip that coin around and say, why pretend?
Pretend about what?
If it's over, why pretend?
Pretend. What are you pretending?
If you know the relationship is done, why would you have this charade?
Well, but the thing is, the romantic relationship could be done. You can, let's say you were in love with someone. It didn't work out. You can still have love for someone without being in a romantic relationship. For example, I mean, I know people don't, like for me, I couldn't be like friends with an ex, like hang out every day, do whatever, talk every day. I could never do that because I don't have an interest in doing that. But you can still have love for someone where, like, let's say they reach out to you and they need something, or I don't know, they need to talk. Something happens in their life. They reach out to you, or you reach out to them, whatever it may be. You still have love for that person, where that should be something that you could be able to do in a healthy way.
What would you do?
What do you mean?
Okay, I hear you. Like, mm-hmm. you still like this person or whatever. Are you going to shoot pool with them or go bowling?
No. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I could never be, like, friends. Like, let's go hang out or let's do this. I personally wouldn't do that. But you're saying completely cut off, never talk to me again. You didn't exist. That's what you're saying.
But then that
how's that different from what you just described?
Because I'm saying you can still... I've still had people reach out to me, right? And I don't just ignore or, you know, whatever. I'll talk to you because I have love for you. I'm not in love with you anymore, but I have love for you and I have respect for you, and I'll still be there if you need me, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So if it was you, would you not, let's say an ex reached out to you, would you not respond at all?
Depends on the ex. But also, I don't really think about that.
But you're contradicting yourself. If depending on the ex, you'll talk to them. I thought you said, no matter what, I'm cutting you off. That's it.
Yeah. Well, there's the cutoff, right? So, I mean, some are more intense, more severe lacerations than others.
More severe laceration?
You're talking about cutting.
Okay. I mean, you make love sound really great. You know, like, gee.
Does whole it point, depend on how it ends?
The whole point. Yeah. The okay. whole point is it's not love anymore.
I'm just saying that it then I'm questioned about how much you was really invested in it for you to cut it off so quickly.
Why is it on me?
Because you're feeling this.
We first met, we were bystanders, and now we're friends.
Okay.
So that grew, right? But that can go in the other direction too. If you try to kill me, I don't think we'd be friends.
Why?
I would.
What if I try to kill you in a loving way?
It would hurt my feelings if you tried to choke me until I died. So that changes things, because we're going to be hanging out, we're going to get milkshakes, and I'm always going to think that you are going to poison me.
I think what it really is it is a self-protective mechanism that you have, that you're saying, you know what, you don't want to be in love with me, screw you, go live your fucking life and leave me alone.
I never said anything about hatred or spite. It's just, I think I'm being realistic. Okay, to Remedy's point, she said, I have love for you. I'm not in love with you, but we're not going to play checkers. We're not going to watch Family Feud. So what's the point? What are we doing? Like, what is this new era of, I'm just going to like everything that you post?
No. I'm not saying that this is a thing that would happen every day, or it could be maybe like, once a year, twice a year, maybe something happened and someone needs to reach out to you because whatever it may be. I would be open to having a conversation about it. I'm not going to go, like you said, play pool with you and we can discuss everything. But I'll be there if you need me.
Why?
Because you still have love for this person. I can't... So for me, I cannot just completely cut someone off and never talk to them again. I mean, I can. I've done this with exes, never talk to them again. But that doesn't mean that if they needed to talk to me, I would say, no. Excuse me? You stay over there. No, I'd say, okay, like, why? Like, explain yourself.
What would be the point of that?
The whole point is you had love for someone, and it's mean. I don't know how to explain it.
So let's say you're in a relationship, and somebody from your past reaches out to you, or you're even, just say you even think about that other person, right? How Freddie is doing. That, all those moments of you considering that other person, don't you think that's disrespectful to the person you're currently with, or even disrespectful to yourself?
I think it depends. So let's say the person you're with has a specific issue with that. I think that's something that has to be discussed between you and your partner. Like in my current relationship, I don't think it would be an issue because he's a very secure person. I'm a very secure person. If an ex is reaching out to either of us, it would be for a reason. And we know that because it has happened in several situations and we let each other know, right? It's not like we would ever be dishonest, and we'll deal with it in a healthy way. It's not like you're going to sneak around and talk to your ex about whatever. That's not right. But it should be something you discuss with whoever you're with. Because that might not be the case for everybody. I'm just saying that's the case for some people.
Do you consider yourself a jealous person?
No.
So you don't mind if the person you're with has a wandering eye or discusses previous girlfriends or...
A wandering eye is different. What do you mean? What you're saying and what I'm talking about, I think, is different. Would I be jealous if the person I'm with has a wandering eye and is just talking to all these girls? Yes. I'm not jealous. I would be upset. But if it's like an ex that reached out because...
Why not jealous?
Because I'm not jealous because I feel like for me, jealous is... I want to be in your situation, or I want to be you, or like I'm craving something that you're doing. And I feel like that's not how I feel. If something like that would happen, it would be that I'm upset that it's happening, not because I'm jealous of you, because I want that situation. No, I'm perfectly fine being me. I'm not jealous of you, but I could be upset of whatever's going on.
So the wandering eye isn't an issue for you?
No.
The flirt isn't an issue for you?
Well, it doesn't happen. If it happened, I would be highly upset.
But we're not talking harmless flirting.
No, that would still be an issue with me. I don't know what harmless flirting is, but
do you feel that you're a flirtatious person at times?
No.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you're the perfect girlfriend?
No, I don't think anybody's the perfect girlfriend, the perfect boyfriend. I don't think that exists. If it did, we probably wouldn't have this conversation.
So is there a such thing as love at first sight?
No. There's lust at first sight. That is a thing.
So you don't...
Why did you laugh at that? You think so?
I think there is love at first sight. Yeah.
What would that be based on? Just chemistry?
Magic? I think so. I think you could see a person and possibly say, you know what? That's going to be my future right there.
Wait, you mean see a person as in you haven't even talked to this person yet, but you're like, you know what? This is the one?
Yeah.
How?
That has nothing to do with that person and has everything to do with you.
Exactly.
And if you're fine with that, then yeah, I guess that could be love at first sight.
But then what happens if that love evolves and we do grow and we get married and we have kids and...
That's fine. Then that becomes something else, right? But what you just describe of lightning bolts hitting you because you see some bulges in certain places, that's not... That is your projection of what you want onto this person or pants or whatever.
Yeah, so I think that there is love at first sight, and I don't care what you think.
What kind of love is that, though? Because I feel like that's lust.
Yeah, that's
a
good point. Like, what would be a checklist? What? Like, humping? Like, the ability to hump this person?
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you're only looking physically. So
what if let's say you're at a coffee shop, right? And you're looking at how this person is interacting maybe with the cashier. Okay. And you're like, wow, you know.
I love their voice.
Like, I love their voice.
He gave exact change.
So you're not talking about total love. You're talking about just like love of something. Like, so it could be, I love how they look physically, or I love their voice. You're not talking about like, I love them whole as a person.
I think you can love a person.
See, let me, the danger in that is you're not accepting them at all. All you're doing is imagining them. So what happens when you start to get to know them? Then you have a checklist of like, I hope this person does this. I hope the person is into the same things I'm into. And then you start to reveal.
You don't think people do that with celebrities? Celebrity crushes?
I don't think they're in love with them.
They could, but that's not necessarily healthy. Yes, I think people do that.
Thank you.
But that equally unhealthy.
Yeah, okay. So basically, there is no love at first sight. There's lust at first sight.
There's definitely lust at first sight. I don't believe in love at first sight, but so if that's what you believe, and then that's you.
Okay.
Do you think the other person has to fall in love with you to make it love? Or is love one way?
No, I think it needs to be mutual.
So you think the other person is looking at you too and thinking, you know, I really love his voice. I'm also in love. And then you guys will talk and then it'll be a happy ending.
You know what? I'm a hopeless romantic. You know what I mean? I look at...
What would be a movie?
I look at movies.
Yeah, what would be a movie that people could say, that you could direct people to and say, this is my image of love?
The Wedding Planner.
Which one's that? Is that J-Lo?
Yes. J-Lo, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I probably got The Notebook. Yeah.
But Schindler's List.
Cinderella.
Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, okay.
Cape Fear.
Here we go. Stranger Things. You know, what can I say?
What is it about a person that would create those lightning bolts for you?
I just think if a person can be able to handle my speed, because I tend to go on 100 sometimes, and if you're able to be like, hey, get it together, what are you doing? All right, calm down. What are you doing? Stop. If you're able to like get me to like, okay, wait a minute, what's going on? You checking me right now? I think you know, I don't know, the way how you interact with me, or you just seem genuinely interested in me as a person, I think I'm like, oh, okay, maybe there is something to this.
So your attraction is if somebody's interested in you?
Do you want to hear something? So I was in the elevator. I was in the elevator about maybe 2-3 weeks ago. And I was in the elevator and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in my building. It was so hot outside. And I was like, yeah, I'm talking to Dana actually on the phone. And I'm like, it's so hot outside, to the guy in the elevator. And he goes, yeah, that heat out there is disgusting. And I say disgusting a lot. Everything is disgusting, right?
Disgusting and amazing.
Yeah, disgusting and amazing. So I just started laughing, like, with a, like, ha, 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 ha. You know, like, please take me now. I'm hopeless. Ha, ha, ha. I have nobody in my life to talk to. I'm single. Please help. And so I laughed with a big laugh. And he was like, that's disgusting. And then he kind of like, he settled down. Like, and then he kind of looked over and kind of like grinned. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's happening in this elevator right now? And then,
it's love at first sight.
Yeah, love at first sight. And then he was like, I was like, that really made me laugh, because I say that all the time. And he was like, I'm glad I was able to make you laugh. And then he slowly walked off the elevator.
Why didn't you get his number?
Did he shit himself?
I shit myself.
Why didn't you get his number?
I don't know. I think there was something there.
Well, now we'll never know.
Well, I'll see him again.
Based on what? Oh, because he rode the elevator? Is that your first time seeing him?
I've seen him before, but I'm not like a, like, you know, come here! You know what I mean? Like, that kind of like... Like, I don't know, everything I see I want and I gotta have. I don't pay attention to things.
So does someone have to talk to you first?
Yeah, but then I get socially awkward because I don't feel like I'm in control. I'm very socially awkward.
So if you like somebody, how do you behave?
I'm very like bubbly, giggly. I can't stand still. I'm trying to avoid you. I'm better if I'm in control, but if I'm not in control of the situation, then I need to like get away from you.
But you just said you want somebody to take control because
I need someone to take control.
You're in like warp speed.
But then you'll be running away. Like what?
Yeah, that's why I need you to be like, come here, so I can stop.
But how can you be in control if somebody is taking control?
Vandal, I don't know. I don't know. I just know that if someone's trying to hit on me, I just don't know sometimes.
What do you think are the cause of relationships that don't end well? Like they fizzle out or...
It depends how they end.
I'll rephrase that. What do you think are the common traits of not keeping that spark up that David just described of like, oh my God, it's disgusting. Oh, there's a bulge in your pants. Let's do it. And then from there, well, I'm not returning your text messages.
I don't see how you interpret that elevator ride as bulges in pants. But you know what? To each his own, right?
You didn't see any bulges?
Honestly, I wasn't looking at the bulge.
You don't check out the bulge?
I mean, I checked the bulge, but I also am looking at like, I'm trying to read your body language. To see if
right,
you're interested.
That's the bulge.
No, the bulge has a mind of its own, you know?
Not your bulge. The bulge.
Bulges are deceiving.
Oh, what do you mean?
I don't want to talk about it. but let's keep moving forward, right? So, what was your question?
Why do you think certain relationships have that high octane of like, As you said, love at first sight or whatever and then they go beep, 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 beep.
I think because in relationships, people don't find a way to reinvent it. You know, like it evolves through time. Like no one's going to be, you know, totally like, I don't know, like totally googly-eyed forever. Like you're going to be googly-eyed, but then you still, I don't know, like something what Aramni described, you know, like over time you build trust. Over time, you build communication. You know, over time, you build on having a sense of responsibilities toward one another. You know, you have to find ways to grow in your relationship. And anytime you feel stagnant, I think that's when it all goes to pieces.
So, in a relationship, if there's stagnation, there's a lack of excitement.
Yeah.
Then it's time to get out.
Time to get out. Don't you want to be able to grow with your partner to say, you know what, we're moving towards financial goals, we're moving toward family goals, you know, we have things that we're moving towards and we're trying to build upon? You still want to be
Do you think when stagnation hits, it's time to check out?
I think if stagnation hits, you shouldn't check out immediately. You should try and work out and see what exactly is happening. How can we improve this? Can we improve this? If we can't, then I guess it's time to leave. But if it's something that you can fix, then you should try to fix it if your relationship is that important to you.
So obviously you disagree with that, right? You don't believe in like any kind of therapeutic moves. Like if the chemistry is gone, then you're like calling an Uber.
No, I believe in therapeutic moves. I think you don't believe in therapeutic
moves. You just said when it's stagnant, it's time to do your own checking account.
It's time to go, but you know, you want to try to see if you can start it up again to see if there's still some light in the ignition. But in your situation, you would be like not like current, but like in your things that you've said you've done in the past, you've been like, I'm out, bye, see you later, next.
Well, we don't know if that was that. Is that true? Did you would you try to work through it before you were like, don't ever talk to me again?
Yeah, when it's like when you know, I'm doing the thumb motion across the neck, that means it is done. See? It's over. But See? It's over. But all I'm saying is, I think where you guys...
It's raining outside.
What you guys disagree with is when we mutually... Everybody has said it's over, right? The priest has given, like, last rites. It's over. You know, the blind men are singing. The fat lady's singing. It's done. I'm not going through my phone or thinking about this person when I get, like, a Facebook reminder or whatever. That's it. Like, I respectfully want to move on for that person. That, not really, though. It's really more for me and the people who are currently in my life. Like, I guess my brain just isn't curious about that person.
So he's saying after you try to work things out, or after everything, when everything is completely done, that's when he stops. He's not saying that he wouldn't try to work something out, right?
Right, but I think if I were in if I was dating now, I think the ceiling would be pretty low for me. I think.
Wow.
That's fair. Don't think I would be like shucking and jiving for like sympathy and like please respect me. I'm like, I don't care. I'm a heathen, so do whatever you want.
Wow. Wow.
You only live once.
What's the motto?
Yeah. So I don't know. Look, all I know is that I think my finding love will probably be in a coffee shop, like, what's that movie with Tom Hanks?
You Got Mail?
Yes. That was a great movie. I think I'll just like go into the coffee shop and drop a book. Someone will pick it up and be like, oh, hey.
You want it to be a movie.
What about Twilight or 50 Shades of Grey?
Oh, I'm not into bondage. Are you into bondage?
I'm not, but it's okay if anybody is.
Right? What does that mean?
It means he respects if someone is, but he...
People can do whatever they want.
Have you ever been bound in sex?
Not that intensely, like in the, I would imagine what the book is about.
Really? Mm-hmm. You've allowed yourself to be tied up in sex?
Playfully, not aggressively.
Wow.
Why is this startling?
Yeah, is that such a...
I think a lot of people have.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm not into that. You, first of all, I don't, there's no, like... words like safe words like meow meow ruff, ruff. No, you're not bounding me up. I'm sorry.
I don't think.
What does that have to do with?
You're not bounding me up. I'm gonna be free. I'm gonna go all beast mode, and then when it's over, I'm going to sleep.
Well, that sounds great for you, but I'm assuming you're gonna be having sex with somebody else. So they may have some their own kind of desires and wants.
They're not bounding me up.
What if they want you to bound them up? Will you do it?
I'm not... I'm kinky, but I'm not there.
Would you wear a mask?
No.
Oh, that's weird.
Like you wouldn't wear like a Nixon mask?
No. You know, yesterday was, I think... I don't know how many years that he resigned.
Oh.
It was his anniversary of him resigning. But I would not wear a Nixon mask while having sex. I thought you was going to pull the Obama mask.
Or it could that would be an option.
That's disgusting.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I would do it if it was the Obama. Okay.
But I don't want to be bound up like that. No.
But I feel like that's a non-negotiable for you.
Being bound up? How is that a non-negotiable?
No, I said it seems like it from your response.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think sex should be fun and playful. I don't think it should be like restrictive like that. I mean, that's like saying hot oil being dripped on your back.
What?
Like olive oil?
No, wax.
Oh,
candle wax.
Just sounds dangerous.
not on your checklist.
No.
What about food?
What do you mean food? Like eating or...
What if somebody wanted to introduce food in the...
This conversation took a weird turn.
Like how, though? Like how? Like,
Like yogurts and...
Like just like on my body?
Yeah, beans.
Ew!
That's gross.
That's so gross.
You knew it was gross when you said it.
Yeah.
But he said it anyways.
Like the rice, the beans, and then pour the gravy on it.
Oh, stop it. I don't like this.
That's disgusting.
So it seems like you have a very, very almost... fixed mindset when it comes to...
I'm not fixed. Like, I'm into, like, you know what? Let's catch this one at the restaurant real quick in the bathroom. Or, you know what? You know, we're about to, you know, see... We're at our, you know, mother's house or your mother, you know. Let's go upstairs real quick to her bedroom, close the door. You know what I mean? Like, I'm okay with that stuff. I'm just not okay with being bound up.
So, you're okay with the being in public? Like a movie theater?
I have done public before and I regret it, but yeah.
Why'd you regret it?
I just think people don't want to, you know, that's just something you shouldn't do in public.
Did the other person regret it?
No, I mean, we had fun. but you know what, that's here nor there.
Right. I mean, and the important thing is to have fun.
Yeah, we had fun. Yeah.
How important is courtship?
I don't know. It's different today.
I know. That's why I'm asking.
It's different
so
today.
I think kids nowadays, they just throw up a dick pic, right?
Yeah, that's it.
They throw up a dick pic to like a group and write holla. And whoever replies, then they just come over and they start fucking.
Yeah. Did you hear about that news? It was on the news yesterday that a woman was sending random, like she was on her back and her titties was like towards her chest. You know, like the suffocating titty look, like that's towards your chest. Anyway, and so she was sending it out to like random, like this scam company was sending out to all these people, all these guys trying to get their credit card information. Like, you know...
Wait, what?
What?
Yeah, so they're sending out these pictures.
Yes.
And saying, hey, if you want to spend some time with me, I'm just looking for a hookup.
Oh, mm-hmm. So it's like those spam emails.
Yeah, but only it was on your phone.
Huh. That's strange.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a question. I know this is kind of sideways, but we're talking... You mentioned cleavage. Is it acceptable to look at a woman's cleavage if she's like... putting it out there like that in her wardrobe?
No.
Then why? God.
Jesus.
Okay, so it's not acceptable to look at it. So what would be the point of her dressing like that?
Because she herself wants to dress like that. A woman can dress however she wants to dress without getting that kind of attention. She doesn't dress that way so that... I mean, okay, I don't know. Maybe she does. But some women don't dress that way just... to get the attention. Maybe they just like how it looks on them.
So do you think that women are generally oblivious when they dress like that?
No, I think some are looking for the attention, but I don't think you can generalize that to all women.
But you think it's rude if a woman shows off a lot of cleavage, mm-hmm. and a man is like following like a slow bird and cranks his neck and just sees that.
I think it depends on the woman. Like, for me, I would be very upset.
Hmm.
But I don't know. Like, it depends.
Some people
like that attention. So.
I don't think that we live in a society where women I mean, yes, they can dress any way they want to dress and whatnot. But because of the society that we live in, and there's a lot of sick people out there, I think women also have to be conscious to some degree of how they dress and the attention that... will be sought after them based off of how they dress.
So women should regulate how they dress?
I think so. Regulation.
No.
I mean, I'm saying like, yes, they should feel comfortable. They should feel sexy and all this type of stuff. But there are a lot of sick people out there. You know,
right?
What I mean?
But what does that have to do with her?
Because she could be attracting sick people to her.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that shouldn't be the case. Just, you should be able to dress however you want to dress without having to think, oh, I can't wear my favorite dress because there's some people, sick people out there and they're going to stare at me. And even though this is your favorite dress, do you really want to wear this dress? No, you can't tell a woman what to wear, but you can change your behavior towards a woman.
So it's okay for her to wear her favorite dress with cleavage and ass out.
If that's what she wants to do.
Right.
Sure.
So she has that right to do that. But what I'm, all I'm inquiring is it, so you're saying it is socially unacceptable for a guy just to even like take it in.
I'm saying that there are certain women that do want the attention and do want
that. No. Because we're not mind readers, but we don't know what they, their intent. I'm just saying as a society, like obviously as a society, we all can agree that no, she can't be touched. I'm just saying, can she? Can a guy drink her with his eyeballs?
No, but that's still, whether it's being touched or being looked at in a way that makes you feel unsafe, that's still wrong.
But I don't know her. I don't know if she's going to feel unsafe. I just meant
the
act.
So you should just go on living your life thinking, every woman will feel safe if I do this.
So if a woman walks in with ass out, cleavage, as a guy, should I just... should I just run or like dive under a desk?
No, but I mean, you don't have to leave the room or whatever, but be respectful. But don't assume that someone
being respectful
is dressed...
subjective.
Okay,
because no. Clearly David and I have different forms of being respectful.
I think you have
actually. I'm being. So what is the optimal response from a guy? Let's say it's summer, it's hot, right? Mm-hmm. And a woman is dressed a certain way. And again, to your point, she should be able to dress however she wants to. She should be comfortable. How should a guy react?
I think don't do anything. Don't. So, it depends. Like, is this
in
guy...
In 2019...
Is this guy someone...
The priest.
Is this guy someone that the woman knows, or is it just, like,
no,
a stranger?
We're just talking about people, like, in the public.
So just keep walking. What?
Keep walking.
Keep walking past
just
her.
Just ignore it. Just ignore it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the
don't pay attention.
Too.
Just ignore it.
If you feel the need that you... to talk to her or something, okay, go and talk to her, but talk to her face, right? Look at her face.
We're not talking about talking. She just walks in and some of her body parts are hanging out.
And you look.
Okay. So you were saying that you look and that, like, what did you described it? Looking.
Drink her in with her, your eyeballs.
Don't drink her in with your eyeballs. If
that
you happen to look, okay.
Mess.
But don't drink her in with your eyeballs.
But she has to be aware.
You can glance and look away. You don't have to drink
okay,
her so that, in with your eyeballs.
So that's acceptable, right?
Glance and
I mean,
look away.
You, I don't
how
think
long
it's,
can I glance for?
It's unavoidable. So
that's what that's the point I'm making.
Okay, it's
right?
Unavoidable. Like if we're in a room, I see you guys. Like there's no way I can avoid that. But there's a certain degree of drinking someone in with your eyeballs. Like there's a certain point
if
where
you,
it's like you need to.
If
not
you were
do
on
that.
The subway and you had a Picasso painting. I'm going to look at the Picasso painting, right? Does that make me a lecherous, like a vile
well,
creature?
You're not making the Picasso painting feel unsafe.
Exactly. I don't want to make the person feel unsafe, but you have a Picasso.
Okay. You look at the Picasso. Are you drinking it in with your eyes? Probably because it's a painting and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But not the woman, because you know the difference between looking at a painting and looking at a woman. You know... that you're not going to make the painting feel unsafe, but you may make the woman feel unsafe. And if you don't know that, then you should.
Small sips?
Yes. Yeah. Let's go with that. Let's go with small sips. Don't.
All right. I have another question. So what if there's a guy that has a constant bulge?
Where did this, like, okay.
What if there's this guy that has a constant bulge? And he wants, and he bulges because that's just what he does. And you look at him. Do you feel that it's disgusting?
Yes.
But what if I'm just bulging because that's what I do?
So is this someone that you see all the time?
Yeah.
Okay, if this is someone that you see all the time and you, I mean, obviously you noticed it once, I'm not looking again.
So you're gonna make it like you have a broken neck and you're just gonna look upwards.
You don't automatically go to down here. That's not a thing. If I happen to see it once and I know it's a thing, I'm just not gonna look.
But now you
I'll
have
look
to,
at your eyes.
You
know,
have to purposely not look.
People usually look at your eyes or what they should.
But what if one day you're at your desk?
All right, you guys are really dragging this. Don't keep going with these what if
you're at your desk and they walk over to you and they're like eye level. Then what?
You go straight towards
their
eyes.
You put on safety goggles. Oh, I have a question for you, David.
Okay.
You know how like when women come home, they want to relax and they just remove their bra?
Oh, I call them titty holders.
What would be the equivalent of it for guys? Do we come home and just like remove our underwear?
No, I don't go home and remove my jock straps. You know, like, no.
Right, we don't have an equal, right?
No.
So why do women do that?
I think I'm not a remedy.
Is it really that uncomfortable?
I don't wear bras.
I don't know, sometimes.
Hmm.
It's just like, oh, the day's over.
Exactly. Why can't we do that?
You can do that. Go ahead.
Do you go home and like take off your shirt?
I mean, when I go home, the first thing I do is jump in the shower.
I just take off my shoes right away.
That's not the very first thing you do.
Well, no. Okay, so I go, I check the mail, I drop the keys off at the table, kick my shoes off, and then I take a shower.
See, kicking your shoes off, I feel like, is also, it's like an equivalent to that. It's the same thing.
It's
same
very,
kind of concept. Because I do that. I take my shoes off right away.
Yeah, it's very, like, relieving.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take a shower?
Yes.
What's the temperature?
It gets hot and steamy.
Why is it the first thing you do?
I don't know. It's just habit. I take 2 showers a day.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, morning and when I get home from work.
This is for both of you. Could you date with somebody that their hygiene was not...
No.
Was That's not up to your...
I didn't hear you.
Could you date somebody whose hygiene was not in your league?
No.
Nope. Nope, 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 nope.
Absolutely not.
Nope, nope, nope.
So you said you shower twice a day?
Yes.
What if this person showered like maybe once every other day?
No. No.
Yeah, no.
Nope.
What would be some physical deal breakers?
What do you mean?
Like, for me, I'm not a fan of, like, when I see women with, like, tree trunk legs that are very burly.
It's not attractive. I'm not going to talk negatively on people.
But these are just personal proclivities. Okay. Like you like the lack of bulge, right?
I never said I like the lack of bulge. I definitely like the bulge. But I think a deal breaker for me is someone that didn't take a shower or someone that didn't take initiative to clean.
Yeah.
You know, cleaning is very important for me. I think, you know, just little household etiquette type stuff. And, you know, like if I'm going to the barbershop like every 2 weeks, and you're not really taking care of your appearance or anything like that, I have an issue.
I have one. It would be, I don't think I would date someone shorter than me.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. Someone tried to hook me up with someone really short the other day.
Then that's not...
Short and stout?
That's not your friend.
Short and stout.
Not your friend.
Why is that? Why is it that women are
not... I've been asked this question several times and I don't really know.
Here's my theory.
I don't want to be, like, I don't know.
I think it's a hunter-gatherer thing. Like, you want, on some primitive level, you want a protector. I'm not saying like overtly, like this guy's mm-hmm. gonna kick everybody's ass.
Yeah.
But you don't want, like, if like shit goes down, you don't want to have to like, honey, I got this, right? There's got to be some level of like, you need to change the water cooler. You know he can do that. I'm not saying.
I think you're.
And
right.
If he's short and stout, he's not doing anything for you.
That's mean. That's so mean to our short people. There are short people that are stronger
Would you date someone shorter than you?
No. Okay. But I don't think that we should
You just said no, so that's fine. 4'3" and 300 pounds.
Oof. I don't think even, like, I've dated people that were the same height as me, and I didn't even like that. I did it because, like, okay, but no.
Wow.
It's the order of species. So that, the taller men are going to be the leaders of the pack, to some degree alphas, and the short, slimy, stouty people are...
But I know short men that are very, very, very alpha. In fact, I find that shorter men tend to be more alpha-like than taller people.
I don't think that's true.
You sure it's not Napoleon complex?
Yes, it's just the Napoleon complex that they carry, where it's like...
Maybe they try to be, but I don't think they actually are.
I know some short people that are very much so in control.
Okay.
And they're
I'm not saying that they're not in control. You said that they're, like, more so than someone who's taller.
In some cases, yes.
Well, yeah. Okay.
So let's bring it on home. We're about running out of time here. And let's bring it back to any final thoughts about what you've learned about love?
What I've learned about love. That's a good one.
I just learned that I don't want to be bound up in sex.
What about eating?
I don't want people eating chicken and rice and beans on my body while I'm trying to have sex.
No. Oh, you're talking about what I've learned during this podcast?
So,
I know we haven't learned anything from this podcast.
So that's what I've learned.
I've learned a lot about you guys. That's what I've learned.
Yeah, that's what I learned about love. That, you know, eating on me is, you know.
But what have you learned throughout your life?
Five course meal
about love,
is just not going to work.
What if you do dessert first?
Yeah. Oh, you know, whipped cream. What about whipped cream?
So what have you learned about love throughout your life?
I learned that there is no perfect way to love, and that love takes on its own shape and own sphere according to the individual.
That's true.
Love is a spear? Have you said?
Yeah, it pierces like your heart.
Oh, oh, no. Well, maybe. I don't know. That's interesting.
You know, when you try to say educated things and it, you know, doesn't happen properly. I have a New York City school education, so bear with me.
I think I've learned, you're right, love is different for everybody, and love is a process. It's not something that you can rush unless you believe in love at first sight. Go ahead. But it's something that grows over time, and you have to be with the right person. I feel like when it's the right person for you, it'll be easier.
Is that something to strive for? Something easy?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't want to say, I guess easier is the wrong word. I mean, it should be something that you want to do. If it's the wrong person, you're probably not going to want to put in the work to do that, to be in a relationship. But if it's someone that you truly want to be with, you'll put in the work. You'll do what you have to do, and it'll be beautiful.
My analogy is, like, whenever you're flying, they have that training video of, in case of emergency, the oxygen mask comes down. You're supposed to put it on yourself first, even before you put it on even a child next to you. I think you need to take care of yourself. There's certain questions that you need to ask yourself. Who am I? What is it that I want out of this, pursuing this person? And am I projecting things onto this person? Am I looking for this person for answers? Because if you can build yourself up and be a better person, I think that is going to be the most attractive thing to other people. Nobody wants to be put on a pedestal, at least for a long time. That's the road to ruin. I think if you, I know maybe it's a cliche, but if you love yourself, then more doors will open up and you'll be more attractive to other people. And you'll be able to listen to other people and take other people in.
I agree. Absolutely. I don't think you can know how to love someone else if you don't love yourself.
Words of a wise man.
And woman. I'm a woman.
And woman.
All right, so take off your bras, everybody, and jump in the shower. Aremni, thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
David, woo! Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me again.
So, sweet listeners, as I always say, you're part of this conversation, too. You're just on the quiet side. Bodhisattva, go out and do good in the world. Thanks for listening. Bye. Said, baby, what's the big deal? Feel what you want to feel. Say what you want to say. You're going to die one day. For example, I could kiss you just because I want to. What's the difference if you turn away? I'm going to die one day. Why do you waste your time thinking about your reputation? Try to meet an expectation, wondering what they're going to say. When everyone you ever know set it for a headstone. Body is an animal, doesn't ask for much. A little music and a soft touch. Why don't you let it out to play? Your heart is in a birdcage, singing in your chest. You wanna shut it up or give it a rest? You're gonna die one day. Why do we waste our time thinking about an obligation? Up in my arms, and if we must go down, we'll go singing to the smoke alarms, we'll dance into the ground.